Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hey, Susie, what are we talking about today?
We are talking spring, Barbara. Welcome to episode 244 of the Groom Pod, recorded on March 1st.
Yay!
2020 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and The Absorber. I want to tell you about this fantastic new sponsor, and that is The Absorber Towel. The Absorber Towel from DogLoversTowel.com. It is changing my world. The Absorber Towel really helps me cut down on drying time. It has an interesting feel. It feels kind of like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser flattened out into a sheet, and it's really quite durable. It is saving me laundry costs. It's saving me space in my mobile, and it's really quite a fascinating little tool. I'm keeping it in a container with vinegar inside, and it is so far working really well. I rotate them, but you know what? You can wash them in the laundry. You can leave them out to dry. If they dry out, you just rehydrate them. The ones that are cut in half, I can wring them with my hands without any pain at all. And I was really worried about that. So if you guys are interested in learning more about the Dog Lover's Towel, the Absorber Towel, you go to DogLoversTowel.com and let them know that the Groom Pod sent you. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to cover scissors part two. And are you guys having problems with static? Because I am. Barbara's going to help us with that. And Barbara and I are going to talk about our niches and how we figured out they were our niches. Well, Barbara, I fixed the misnumbered episode. It was actually only one. I did fix it, though. Yay. I don't know why that bothered me so much. The OCD in me, I guess.
Your OCD serves us well, Susie.
You're right. Absolutely. I acknowledge that. So I do want to tell you about a very exciting thing that I discovered at the restaurant supply store, which I like to go in and look at stuff at the restaurant supply store. I think it's fun.
Me too. We have a giant one.
So I have been wanting some different shampoo bottles. I find filling the tiny opening is annoying, and it just is difficult for me. I just end up opening the bottle and squeezing it out the top. The caps don't do me any good. And it's a two-handed thing anyway. And I was looking for an alternative. I was at Safeway the other day, and they were making my sandwich, and they had this mayonnaise dispenser. And I noticed that it had screw-on top, and then it had a dispensing bottom with little feet on it, so you could set it down without the bottom actually touching.
Right.
And I thought, boy, I bet that'd be a pretty cool shampoo dispenser. So I went into the restaurant supply store, and they were six for $20. And they are soft, fairly soft. I was worried because I had asked on the podcast discussion group if anybody had used them, and a few people said they were hard to squeeze. But they're about the thickness of a can of Pepsi, so not overly thick. They fit really well in my shampoo caddy, and I thought, there's going to be something that I don't like about them. I just know it. But it turns out, as long as I store them right side up instead of upside down, they're meant to be stored upside down so you can just grab them and use it, and all of the product is down near the bottom.
Yeah.
The seal leaks a little bit that way. And I don't want to have to clean the bottom of my shampoo caddy every day unnecessarily because stuff is leaking out of the shampoo bottles. Plus, it's a waste of product. But if I just turn them over, shampoo is viscous enough so that when you flip it back over, it just all sloshes to the bottom. And then it's just a one-handed, and it's clean and neat. And I love it. So I got six of them, and I was filling them with my shampoos. Boy, a nice new look in there for my shampoo caddy, because it's going to be all uniform. So I'm going to go buy another set of six, and I'm going to continue to transfer stuff in there, and it's going to just give a better visual effect when people come in the trailer. So
good.
I'm pretty excited about that. And I'm also excited to say that we have enough money to buy your washer.
Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Well, how excited are you? Because, you know, after the sex joke last week. Now it's going to be great. I'm going to call down there and get it all set up, and then they'll come deliver it to you. And you can pick it out, though. You get to pick out which one you want. Thank you, everybody who contributed to that. And I want to mention that Mary Rodriguez, Debbie Larson, and Jessica Sanger all gave us money this week, and that pushed us up to enough to afford the washer. So I'm tickled pink.
Thank you, my friends. Thank you very, very much from the bottom of my heart.
So I've been watching a lot of news lately, and I've noticed that the coronavirus is really spilling over into our industry. And you also brought up this morning, maybe we should talk about that. What are your thoughts?
Here's my thoughts. It's not time to panic, but I think it's time to start thinking about what the possible impact of this virus spreading in our country might be in our businesses. So, like, not fearing it, but just thinking how I might prepare if the concern and the fear really spread. Is that going to keep people from wanting to bring their dog to the groomer? And what would I do myself if I'm having contact with the dogs that the people just handled? You know, like, is this virus transmissible from person to dog, coat to pet groomer, or not?
We're in the ground zero here. We've got a guy died.
You've already got a guy died there, right?
Yeah, and we have several active cases going right now.
Right.
There is an active case at the high school right in the middle of my grooming area. So, I mean, I am there. I'm in it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that the most important thing that we can do is just really up our hand washing.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, so that just means it wouldn't hurt anything that after you take a dog from the client, put the dog up or on a table, that you either wash your hands or use a hand sanitizer gel stuff. You know, I mean, I think we just need to be washing our hands several times a day, always before we eat. Always after the bathroom, and do the proper 20-second interval. I mean, you know, I got after Yvonne. I can't get her to wash her hands, and I'm trying to. And so one time I was washing my hands, I just called her over. I said, hey, wash your hands. And I was doing the whole good thing about in between my fingers and making sure I clean my fingernails. With me, because I have nails, I can collect a lot of shit under those nails. Yvonne comes over to the tub and sticks her hand in, and she does like a 3-second hand wash. So now not only do I have to nag her to get her to wash her hands, I've got to criticize her hand washing. So do I want to go there? Do I want to go there to start bugging my employees? Hello, other groomers. So one person gets woke, and how do they awake the next person? I think you can only model your hand washing. You can have a staff discussion that it's a good thing to just like kind of up that variable at this point, just so that if things do get rough, we've got that going already.
Also, maybe expand your personal bubble. Like, don't run up and hug every single person that comes in, even though you know them. Give a little space. You're less likely to get it if they're not coughing or collecting airborne particles from them. So keep your personal space a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good one. Good point.
I was at the theme parks in the beginning of February, as you remember, and it was already kind of being talked about then a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I have never been in a bathroom where I have heard so many people singing happy birthday. Sing happy birthday is as long as you're supposed to wash your hands. They teach it to you in vet tech school to sing happy birthday. So
twice.
Yeah. Oh, twice.
I mean,
okay,
twice. Yeah. Happy birthday twice.
But I had to laugh because there was more than one person in the bathroom singing happy birthday.
Oh, that's cool. And that's just really important. I heard NPR, National Public Radio, I don't remember what program I was listening to. It was just on my radio in the car. But they did a whole segment on going through the proper steps for a highly sanitized hand washing. And they brought my attention to my fingernails that I can collect crap under there, especially if I have nail polish on that doesn't show me what the inside of my fingernails look like. I'm just always looking at the outside. But inside there, it can get funky.
Well, another thing they're doing here locally is we've already got vaccine trials, which I contend, you know, in your dog and cat vaccines, the C portion of the vaccine is coronavirus. It's not the same strain, but they already have a baseline for creating a vaccine for this. You know, they're going to do the trials here. They're already signing people up for vaccine trials here.
Wow.
So we're going to get a handle on this. Well, yeah, see, FVRCPC, which is your cat vaccine, FVRCPC, the C is coronavirus, and DHLPPC, the C is coronavirus for your dog vaccines. So they already have pretty much existing baseline vaccines for this. We're going to get on top of it. I'm not going to panic. I've already planned my summer travel for June without worrying about it, although I'm not taking a cruise. Staying off the cruise ship this time.
And I don't think I'm going to go to China with iGroom this year. You know?
Nope.
I need to contact Jennifer Lee and say, hey, Jennifer, guess we're not going to China, huh? But
all right, well, let's take a break, and we're going to come back and continue our really interesting discussion on scissors from last week. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shots Innovative Systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. So after we finished chatting last week about our scissors, Barbara was saying that she thought we could talk like for a whole nother show about scissors. And so why the heck not, right? So we're going to talk a little bit more about scissors. I call this Scissors Part 2. Barbara, I'm going to hand the mic to you. Take it over.
Well, one of the things that I noticed in listening to us is that it was a fine discussion, but we didn't really talk about some of the features of the shank and the handle.
Okay, you guys, in case you didn't hear that, Barbara listened to the show. Okay, carry on. Just thought they might like to know.
I know, and I know you tend to take it personally that I don't listen to the show, but it's like there are some movie actors that don't like to see the movie, you know?
I get it.
I'm kind of like that. I needed to review our conversation from last week because I knew that there were some things that were kind of missing, and I wanted to talk about shank features. To refresh us, the shank is the space on the handle between the finger rings and up to the pivot point or the screw.
The fulcrum.
The fulcrum, yes, ma'am. So the scissors of yesterday And there's probably a lot of people that didn't even use these scissors, but they were long and fat blades and a long handle with kind of a long shank. Because what would happen is that as the blade, remember, the fulcrum is the balance point. It's the point of if you hold your finger, put your shears down on your finger right at the balance point, it will just like stay on your finger. And in order to do that, the weight of the front part and the back part has to be the same, right, Susie?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so...
I was listening. I got a text.
Yeah. Stop texting during my pontification. So, look it. They made us shears with 8.5 inches of blade. And in order to balance that, they had to have an equal weight of handle. And the easiest way was to make it to be longer. It would balance easier with a handle, right? So our handles had long shanks, and you would have to stretch your fingers up there to keep the scissor balanced in your hand while you used your thumb. They weren't even feminine friendly. You know, they weren't friendly for smaller hands.
Ah, big man hands.
Yeah,
they were big man hands.
They were barber shears before they were sent into the beauty industry. Because barbering came before hairstyling, historically.
Right.
There's always some sense of style going on, but as a business, barbering for men was kind of where scissors started. And as they got to use different metals and slimmer blades, they could shorten the shank for us. So if you have small hands, or if you don't want to separate a wide stroke of your thumb, because here's the deal, Susie, that the shorter shank requires less thumb action to pull the blade all the way apart. Do you follow
right.
that? Yeah, right.
Yeah, physics. It's physics.
Yeah, it's
class.
Physics. So the short shank is ergonomic, more user-friendly, and definitely more smaller hand-friendly. And it's available, and almost it's starting to be kind of the more common thing. But just to know that there are short shank and there are long shank shears, and men with large hands can search for those as you go. And the other thing that they did with the shank is they started making those finger dips so that you would place your fingers properly on the shank. That was helpful, ergonomic finger dips. And then with the handle, long shank scissors usually have handles that are of equal length.
Oh, you're going to talk about offsets. Okay, yeah, equal length shank.
Yeah, first thing that they did was to make the shank attached to the thumb ring shorter than the one attached to the fingers, so that...
That instantly made my hands happier.
Oh, me too. I do find that smaller scissors don't require that for hand comfort, but it really does make a difference. And so that's called an offset shank when the handles are not of equal length and the thumb is shorter. And then usually the ergonomic finger dips will be on the longer side of your handle. One thing that we didn't talk about too much was tangs, and tangs are also known as finger rests, right? That's just the technical term is tanged. And so you can have screw-in tangs, which are cheaper and common, and the damn things fall out unless you get some glue to stick them in there. What's that?
Super glue?
Yeah, well, super glue should do it.
I use fingernail polish. Because it keeps them in there, but you can still bust it loose if you need to replace it.
Yeah, well, that's a good idea. I certainly have enough of that for a lifetime supply.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but I like the tang that is attached to the ring. So I'm holding up a pair of scissors. Do you see it?
Yes.
Yeah, fixed tang. Thank you. Fixed tang, and they're usually curved a little bit, whereas the screw-in tangs are always straight. And so I like the fixed tang. And it's also a good idea to have a double tang pair of shears, especially if they're curved.
I'm a flipper.
Yeah, and those are sometimes called a flipper shear because you can just flip them from side to side and you've got a tang however you hold it. The tangs are important because it helps to establish the balance of the handle in your hand. It keeps it balanced. In fact, with the ergonomic handles are all designed in order to place your fingers in a place where it's going to be most balanced. And so there's that. Now, what else?
Bench shank.
Bench shank. Yeah, I have that here. And the bench shank.
That's my savior.
That's one of your favorite secret weapons and a feature that almost faded from the industry, but was brought back. And here's the deal. The bench shank scissors have to be bended while they're being created, right?
Yeah.
It's not something that you can do, you know, that has to be done while the metal is screaming hot and malleable. It's another way of getting to a short shank, actually. And it was the original way, but why groomers like it is that because it keeps the scissor off the table and it allows you to get into some awkward places more easily, right, Susie?
Yeah, I especially like the little 5.5-inch ones that Randy made me that are straight, and they're fantastic. I also have some 5.5 curves that he has handmade, but I watched him bend the bent shank ones. I watched him do it, and it was fascinating.
Wow.
And I love them. I mean, I love them. They are my favorite go-to for any up and down because my wrists don't bend all that well with my weird thumb and all that at this point. It gives me a little extra mobility. That, combined with my Evolution Shears swivels, which makes a big difference as well into getting to some of those difficult spots without trying to move the dog into the spot where I can get in there, because there are just some directions that dog shoulders and dog hips are not meant to go. And sometimes you're trying to get into a spot and you think, if I could just lift this leg a little bit farther, and then you've totally thrown the dog off balance and then they don't like grooming. So with these two adaptations, the bent shank and the double swivels from Evolution, makes a big difference in my grooming, I've noticed.
And you know what? I want to make a point. Dog balance is so damn important to the dog's experience of grooming. And we don't think about that. We just expect them to work to keep their balance while we lift their feet off the table. And I could make a thing about that. But to finish this up, what about the three-fingered handle on the shears? Have you used those at all?
I had a difficult time with that. It didn't fit
your hand.
Weird finger.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, for me, the three-fingered shears were an important phase in my scissoring evolution. Okay. So I unfortunately learned to scissor, and it was probably my own fault, with my middle finger in the finger ring instead of my ring finger. And then I would put my little finger and this other finger, I would grab the tang between them. Okay, I would hold it like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Barbara just demonstrated it. It's a very interesting hold.
So, yeah, that's how I used to do it. You know, and then I started seeing correct scissoring. I'm thinking, well, what the heck? I'm wrong. And so I couldn't train my hand. My hand would not just like, it would automatically go in that other position. So I used the three-fingered shears for a year or so, and I just automatically retrained my hand into a really proper grip. New groomers, if you're having any issues with holding your shears or getting your hand to be comfortable in the proper grasp of the shears, get a set of three-fingered shears and see if you can't train your hands, because now my hands just automatically go into the meet the shear with the proper, hand action.
The proper handshake.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Oh, and the other thing that I found is that there is now a root shears holder, also which is the Schoenbau shears holder that uses the noodles. Those things are called noodles that are in there, the little mini straws that hold the scissors apart. It has a two-sized one. It has another cup attached that's smaller, and I think I haven't determined whether it has noodles in it or not, but it looks like it would be available for putting other things in it.
Oh.
Yeah, and there's also a tool caddy, and this is a Schoenbau thing, that looks like it's good. It attaches to a square grooming arm, and it has places for several pairs of scissors and a tray for some things, and then two large holes where I think you can even put clippers in there. I love to see that new things are happening in our industry. Tools, new products, I love to feel that there's movement and evolution going on, and I am out to really get more efficient at my grooming table. See, you're kind of forced into it because you're in the trailer. And the time when I was the most efficient and did my speediest grooming was when I worked mobile. Boy, so there's that. And I want to have an empty scissor holder where I just put the scissors I'm going to use on that dog, and I put that on the table, and then I have complete immediate access to those, and then when I finish that, I'll put them away, and I'll just get together what I'm going to use for the next dog. And that's something that I could actually carry into the other room and the other table when I go in there, because always what happens was that I grab a couple of things and I go in to work on Yvonne's table, the larger dog table, and then I have to send her back to my table to get something else, right? So if I was using a portable scissors holder, I could just take the holder and work it that way. I'm still learning about what I need to do to become more efficient. Oh, Susie, one time I had my grooming table freestanding in the middle of the room, and I would actually have to walk to one side or the other where tools were. Oh, why?
That's crazy.
I know, I did that. I don't know, why did I do that? And I struggled with that for months. that was some kind of a evil twin of self-destruction operating there for a while or something.
Well, you might as well think of my grooming trailer as a rolling toolkit, because I have a finite amount of space, so I have to pick and choose what I carry with me. I have a problem because I have more stuff than will fit in the trailer, so I need to clean some of that stuff out. Now that I'm 13, 14 years in, I know what I use out there and what I'll never actually use, and I should probably do some house cleaning in that respect. But everything's got a place, and if I don't have a place for it, I can't really take it. I'm really good at keeping it pared down, and everything is within reach, because everything from the door to the bathtub to my storage to my light switches, and it's all within reach. I can't get out of it being within reach. It is organized, though. I'm pretty well organized inside the trailer, and I'm still working on the being seated while I'm grooming and what I need to reach as far as the scissors. That's the only thing I haven't really quite sorted out. Everything else I can pretty much get to, and I'm enjoying sitting down a little bit more. I do get a little distracted when drying the dogs. If I'm listening to something really good, I might dry a little longer than I should, because I'm just spaced out listening to the story in my book or to the podcast or something like that. But the only person that hurts is me, so I'm okay with it. Should we move on to the next highly electric topic?
Oh, all right. Let's go.
our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that?
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
So, Barbara is going to teach us about static electricity and static in our grooming environment. So, I am excited to learn about this because it was funny when you sent me the text message, my hair was standing out sideways. Because we have a lot of electricity in the air here right now. It's crazy.
Well, that's funny because I was thinking that you wouldn't be able to relate to this topic because you're in a high humidity kind of an area. But, you know, it doesn't really matter, although dryness of the air really is a major factor. But it's not the only factor, and certainly cool weather, and you know, when it's windy out, even though it's not windy in your grooming area, it's on a windy day, there's just a whole lot more static electricity going around. And static is created when there's an electron exchange between elements, you know, like your hat and your head.
Me and the cat.
You and the cat, yeah. My
often
slippers and the door handle. So, yeah, just another good reason to wear rubber-soled shoes is like to keep that energy, that electron change. Because you could build, I can build up a nice little cache of electrons from my house to my car, and then I touch the car door, or I go to slip out of the seat and touch the car door, and
surprise.
And the poor cat, when it happens with the cats, they never understand.
They give you the stink eye.
They give you the stink eye and they'll go away and they'll reconsider whether they want to be on your lap or not. You know, like, yeah, the guy, yeah, she's mean. We had a windy day, and not only did the windy day just like put me totally out of sorts, there's something that happens to me that I just get really icky feeling. I just don't like windy days. I don't feel right. I don't feel well. It may be that I have allergies that I don't even know about, well, which is probably very true. We were having trouble because Yvonne and I were team hand stripping. So we do a lot of this where we're each on the other side of the table. we were hand stripping this dog, and the hair of the dog would not leave my hand and go into the receptor. We have a little waste basket where we collect the hair to show to the people. Well, it just wouldn't go in the basket. It would stay on my hair. It would be on, if I was using a knife or something, it would be on my knife. It was on our clothes. The hair was not collecting in the basket like it's supposed to. And scissoring, the hair that I scissored off, it would want to attach to the scissors. So I said, well, boy, we've got some static. So there's one immediate thing that you can do. You can spritz some water in the air around your table, because that will change the electron situation. The water will take the electron or something anyway. Water is the first go-to anti-static ingredient, okay? I'll just say that. But you can make it even more effective if you mist a diluted fabric softener in the air. If you want to.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just in the air above your table.
Plus, it smells delightful.
Yeah, assuming that you buy something that you like the smell of. So, you know, like, that's always important. We always have some fabric softener on hand because we use it to break down the suds in the recirculating Bathing Beauty. You can just put like an ounce in a bottle with some water and just spritz that in the air, and it will really bring down the static electricity. I like to use, for any of my spritzing, I like to use the Flarisol sprays, the bottles. They're also called continuous flow sprayer or something, because if you do it about three times, it'll just go, keep on keeping on, so you don't have to do one pump per puff, right?
Yes, I love those.
Flarisol sprayers, and one of the good news that I discovered on Amazon and looking at a bazillion Flarisol sprayers is Amazon now has replacement heads for the
nice
sprayer. And that's really nice, because sometimes you choose a product to use in there that gums up the situation and the sprayer no longer works. You know, the truth is, Flarisol sprayers work ideally for water and with some diluted conditioners, but some ingredients are just too much for the little intricate system there. It's good to know that Amazon has, you buy six for $5 or something like that. I don't know. It's a pretty good buy. And I don't remember the size, but you can go there. Another thing that would help, and this could help you, an ultrasonic aromatherapy diffuser near your table, near your space. That will help to de-static the area.
Good to know, because I have one of those.
Yeah, so that might be something that you want to do, and it would be fun, and it could get you back into aromatherapy. You know, I go in and out of using my aromatherapy, to tell you the truth. I get all gung-ho going for a while, and I'm checking this out and checking that out and creating stuff, and then all of a sudden, it's like no aromatherapy. It just drops out of my consciousness. There's that. Well, there's Mr. Marco. Probably found the chocolate candy, and now he's barking at everything. He's gained a nose for chocolate.
Uh-oh.
He's gained a nose. Yeah, that's not good, but he is my best recycling aid. And I'll tell our listeners, like I told you, we have this little system going where Marco is my Maltese, and he will knock over the recycling receptacle and check all the contents. I put it in the recycling. I don't have to rinse with water and use any more water in the desert. So he's, you know, like, he's a valuable assistant in some respects.
In the recycling process.
In the recycling process. Yeah, well.
That's great.
So anyway.
All right. Okay, we're de-staticking our environment.
Yeah, we're de-staticking. Good to know that silicone ingredients neutralize static charge in hair. Okay, boom.
That's what I do
most.
Yes,
silicone. And you don't have to Do a heavy application. There again, the magic of silicone is that the least little bit can do a huge amount of good. And then you need to know that too much is icky. Now, I wondered about our combs, you know? Yeah, I was wondering, wow, when we're scissoring, we're making that comb go in and out and in and out as we fluff up and fix the hair.
Practically charging it up.
Yeah, but you know what? Apparently, metal combs also discharge static.
Oh, well, that's handy.
Whereas brushes can encourage it or help it along. Ionic dryers also neutralize static. I was glad to see that because I've got an X-Power arm dryer, and I was wondering if the ion, you know, they say it speeds up drying. Speeds up drying because it breaks the water molecules into smaller pieces. I never thought that it really speeded up anything, but apparently the ionic ions into the air discharge static electricity. So that's good to know. And here's something that the absorber people need to know. Speaking of drying hair, if you rub the hair with the towels, that can create static and it can also damage the hair. So the absorber type towels that are not rubbed but are like padded and squeegeed onto the hair, they are way more hair friendly than terry towels.
I like that.
I like that.
That is really, really nice.
Hey, it's a speaking point that they don't even know about yet. You know,
they'll know after they hear this.
So, hello, absorbers. Yeah, another reason.
Erica. Her name's Erica.
Okay, and Erica, here's just another reason that we can encourage people to use absorbers is that they are less likely to cause damage from friction in the hair that we're drying. And then, of course, there are frizz-controlled sprays. Frizz-controlled sprays for people usually contain a little something that's on the oily side, like at least a cyclomethicone, which you may or may not like. But you can get a finishing spray or a scissoring spray. Those sprays will have an anti-static ingredient in it. I use the finishing spray frequently when I'm doing any kind of, what I might say, serious scissoring. Serious scissoring, you know. And
I like the Finish It by Show Season. It has a nice smell, and it's a nice light finishing spray.
It is a good finishing spray. I use that, and I use iGroom scissoring spray if I want a scissoring spray that actually adds body to the hair. Some finishing sprays are mainly static control and frizz control sprays, and scissoring sprays usually have a little acrylic copolymer or something that will make the hair stay in place. It's almost like a setting spray, but it's probably a hundredth of the amount, right?
Right.
And that's another thing. But these are all things that you can do easily to just control the amount of static around your table. Just think of your table. Think of it as a bubble, because actually a lot of things happen around that. You dry out the air when you're using the dryer. You know, hair itself is just asking for static. It seems to just call for it, especially if you've just dried it with a windy... See, something about the movement of air, as in wind or high-velocity dryer, tends to create an electron exchange atmosphere, okay?
Okay.
That's about the most technical way I will say that. So, if you've got an ion option on your dryer, use it.
Cool.
We weren't even using ours. And get a Florasol sprayer. They're also great for misting your plants, by the way.
And for misting your parrot, if you so choose.
And for misting your parrot, if you so choose. You can decrease matting of your dog if you just mist the dog every day not direct spray on him, but just mist around where he's lying. Of course, they probably, if I did that right now, they would probably all leave the building. Oh, no, she's in a grooming mode. Let's get out of here.
Watch out. Does that cover the static topic?
I think that does a number on static.
Okay, let's take a quick break and then come back with our last segment, which is the At the Table segment, where we're going to talk about grooming niches.
Your niche. Not your niece.
Finding your niche.
Your niche.
Where we're going to talk about finding your niche. So, Barbara, what's new over at Show Season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because Show Season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it. So we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about Show Season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. One of the really coolest things about the grooming environment is that you can kind of tailor it to suit your needs. You know, you could be a salon groomer, you could be mobile, you could do house call, you can schedule when and where you'd like, you can even pick the type of grooming you choose to do. This all happens after you've been grooming for a little while. So you get out there in the trenches and you're working and you discover that you really enjoy finish scissoring a Bichon or a poodle, and you wish you did more of that. Well, that could be your specialty right there. So what you've got to do is you've got to find something that really entices you and something that you gravitate towards, and then that can become your niche, and it's a very successful way to market yourself. For me, Barbara always talks about the fact that I don't do a lot of scissoring, which is dead on. I don't really enjoy scissoring. It's not great with my hands. I don't have a ton of control on the scissors. So as a result, I'm pretty good with a clipper vac. I can sculpt and do all kinds of neat stuff with my clipper vac. And that's what I gravitate to. So I work to find dogs that I can do with the clipper vac easily. I also found that right off the bat, I was really good at dog handling. So I far more enjoy a dog that is anxious or uncomfortable with grooming more than I would scissor finishing that poodle. Barbara, you on the other hand, that's your niche. That is what you do. You are a scissor person and you scissor breed profile dogs. When did you figure out that was what you like to do?
Well, you know, it really took me a long time. Because in the beginning, I wanted to be all things to all people. You know, I just wanted to be an all-round groomer. So that's where I started out. But I chose the name Transformation because what draws me to grooming over and over and over again is the transformation that occurs between the before and after pictures. I just loved that. So that was there and it was a seed. But one of the first things that I specialized in, I remember, I take partial credit for the term de-shedding because I used that term well before Furminator ever got hold of it. You know, it was back in the days, the first 10 or 15 years of my shop, the only viable advertising was Yellow Pages. So you would have to decide every year, what are you going to put in your Yellow Page ad? And you know what? It's good to think of yourself that way anyway. So what are the main things? So I did thorough de-shedding was one of my things. You know what? For 2 or 3 years in my Yellow Pages, what was I thinking? I put, we heart chows.
Oh, that's crazy, Barbara. Although somebody's got to do them.
Right, right. And I kind of liked chows. I hadn't had too many bad experiences. I actually owned one. It was a drop-off that never had the pickup. They dropped it off all right. And it wasn't until I had a couple of bad experiences of yard chows that I dropped that out of it. So it took me a while. And first thing that happened was that I devoted myself to better be shown grooming, right? So I for years I celebrated Bichon's in my Yellow Pages, and I, and that, of course, led right into the poodles. Was actually the one breed that I didn't learn very much because my boss and mentor was a standard poodle breeder and show person, and then his first employee was a poodle groomer. So he had one groomer that did all little poodles, and then I was the other breed's other groomer, right? And he did the standard poodles.
Right.
And so poodles were really an afterthought when I realized that I was going to be leaving him. I said, oh, quick, can you teach me poodles? You know, so I learned poodle feet, and that was funny. But so after I got into scissoring the poodles, the Bichon's poodles were a natural next step. And then I started featuring myself as doing more coated breeds. And terriers have always been my specialty. I kind of dropped that out of the advertisement for a while when I wanted more to scissor. What was I thinking? You know, what happened is that I got too many Bichons, and you can only do so many Bichons in a day. I'm sorry. I'm sure there are some really rapid scissored groomers, but that's not me. I can only do more than three is too much for me of scissored Bichons. You know, I've always kind of hit on if you like more hair, you're going to like my grooming, you know. And it's become my niche. So, you know, scissor finishing and terrier specialties, terrier profiles are kind of my two main things.
I have a friend who specializes in bathing dogs. She's mobile. She just does big dog baths. She never does anything more than big dog baths. She makes an entire living on washing big dogs in a mobile unit. That's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you never want a scissor, that's out there. There's a job out there that will fit your situation if you make it. It's just important to remember that generally to succeed in business, there's three principal things of business. You've got service, you have quality, and you have price. Those are the three aspects that you can adjust and change. This kind of niche grooming goes under the service aspect. And it generally, the theory is that if you have two of the three over someone else, you're going to be successful. So be the best quality groomer that gives the best service, or be the cheapest groomer that is on time all the time. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to make a combination, but the point is, there are dogs for everybody. There's enough dogs out there to kind of pick and choose what you want to focus on. And remember, this is after you're in your own business and you get to choose, because that's another issue. When you've been grooming long enough to be in your own shoes, in other words, to be the owner of the business, then you get to decide what you focus on and you pick and choose. And life is pretty good when you do that.
No, it is for me too. I love that I've gotten to the point where I don't have to do everything that knocks on my door. I miss large dog grooming because I always like big dogs. And I just miss them, but it takes too much out of my body that I don't have then for some smaller dogs, easier work. So I just assume do something more technical and less physical. The other thing that I'm starting to be a niche in that you're a niche in is the difficult dogs with issues.
Yeah, I like that. That's my spot.
I don't do aggressive dogs, but I will do dogs with issues, and I love seeing them through a grooming and getting them to be more comfortable about being taken care of.
I like that whole special needs area. The last thing I want to say about the niche grooming is when you're beginning and you're working for someone, if you're finding something that you enjoy, let your boss know that you love doing terriers or that you love scissoring poodles or something so that they can feed you dogs that are in your interest area and you can continue to get better and develop that. So that's that. All right, Barbara, let's call it a show and head on out to the big world. What do you say?
Okay, I'm ready to go out there. Or maybe I'll take a nap.
That is the beauty of Sundays. All right, guys, thanks for supporting our sponsors. We really appreciate it very much. Thanks for joining us on Patreon as well. We're thinking about doing some new Patreon perks that include video peek-ins to our either off-topic segment or perhaps the recording of the show. I'm working on that. If there's any ideas you guys have, let me know. And other than that, happy grooming, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourselves.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.